We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Hey, everybody, the latest from the speaker's fight, going bowling at Biden's White House. And then we also cover, are we heading towards a regional war with Biden requesting a lot of money and more. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Become a member at charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Jim Jordan has fallen short now on the third Speaker of the House vote. 25 Republicans have decided that they do not want Jim Jordan as Speaker of the House. Let's read their names. Don Bacon of Nebraska, Vern Buchanan of Florida, Ken Buck of Colorado, Lori Chavez de Remer of Oregon, Anthony D'Esposito of New York, Mario Diaz-Balart of Florida, Jake Elzey of Texas, Drew Ferguson of Georgia, Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, Andrew Garbarino of New York, Carlos Jimenez of Florida, Tony Gonzalez of Texas, Kay Granger of Texas, Thomas Keene of New Jersey, Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania, Jen Kiggins of Virginia, John James of Michigan. What a disappointment John James is. Holy moly. Nick LaLota of New York, Mark Lawler of New York, Mark Mulirano of New York, Marionette Miller Meeks of Iowa, John Rutherford of Florida, Mike Simpson of Idaho, Pete Staubert of Minnesota, and Steve Womack of Arkansas. So look, we did not choose this war. It came to us. The establishment, the moderates, they are rejecting Jim Jordan on petty and stupid reasons. Jim Jordan has the support of Kevin McCarthy, the person that these moderates support. So what is it that is preventing them from getting behind Jim Jordan? And the answer is sophomoric revenge. That's what this is. It is nothing more than grown infants with suits, ties, and dresses and congressional pins that are running your country. It is petty infighting. Instead of sucking it up and say, you know, I might not like everything on Jordan, let's make sure we have a majority and a Speaker of the House. High school student council operates better than this. And there is an ideological part to this. We've been saying for a while that a Republican civil war, a conservative civil war is looming. We could see it coming. The canaries in the coal mines, the harbingers, the warnings of a war to come. Because in reality, we have two parties in one. One party is supported by 80% of the people, 90% of the people. Close the border, stop the foreign wars, balance the budget, cut spending, tell the truth. And the reason that we have been so ahead of this here on the Charlie Kirk Show is that when I went to the RNC meeting in Dana Point, California, I saw the exact same dynamic that is now playing out on the Speaker of the House race. Carbon copy. Let me take you back to that. I went there to go lobby for Harmeet Dillon. Harmeet Dillon, who is supported by 90 to 95% of the Republican base. RNC chairwoman Ronna Romney, incredibly unpopular with the Republican base, losing and losing and losing and losing. And I said, it's time for us to no longer accept a culture of losing. So I went to Dana Point, California, to a 5-star hotel to go talk to the members of the RNC, the 168 that will be making the decision of who gets to run the Republican Party. And again, it was never personal with Rana. I've known Rana for many years. She's a very sweet and pleasant person, but it's about results and metrics and vision. And I felt that she has not and is still not the right person for that job. And boy, has that fight is still ongoing. Let me tell you, not that fight. They're still coming after us and whatever. But when I went there and I started to talk to members of the RNC, they have contempt for their precinct committeeman. They have contempt for their county chairs. They have contempt for you. In fact, one of the individuals from Missouri, he said, you and Bannon and Tucker, you are what is wrong with the Republican Party. You are what is wrong with the conservative movement. Now, we failed. We lost that fight. The Insider Country Club of the RNC selected Ronald Romney for another term. And the grassroots, even though 90 to 95% of the grassroots supported change, regime change, finally regime change I could get behind, it was put aside. And you saw two parties in one. You saw certain members that cared about results and metrics and data, cared about what the grassroots had to say, and did not want to win. And you had another side that was so disconnected, that was living in a different reality. So that was an eye-opener for me. Because here I am, I host this program, I go on the road, we're selling out auditoriums like you wouldn't believe. We had to turn away people yesterday at our Turning Point USA event. And I know what the voters want, and I know what the people want, and yet the people in charge don't listen to their voters. And I've seen this schism looming for quite some time. We've been warning about it, and we said, well, maybe we can kind of have a fusion, a forced marriage because of how terrible the bad guys are, how terrible the Marxists are. But honestly, a debt ceiling bill and a CR bill is the straw that broke the camel's back. And you could see these fault lines exposed in different legislative fights. Another piece of data that I might submit is when we had our Turning Point Action Conference in July, with thousands and thousands. How many people did we have there, Andrew? I want to make sure it was at least 5,000 people, maybe even more, 7,000. I can't remember. The whole convention center was filled. We had to turn people away. It was a logistical nightmare. 7,000 people. Secret Service messed things up, but at least 7,000 people. And we asked, do you support sending more money to Ukraine? 95% of our attendees said no. And yet 95% of your Senate Republicans say yes. We want to send more money to Ukraine. And that was another eye-opener. So we should not be shocked. We should not be surprised. After what we saw in the RNC meeting in Dana Point, California, earlier this year, we saw the quote-unquote clean debt ceiling bill, the clean CR bill, the Ukraine bill. And I know, fundamentally, that our viewpoint is at least 70 to 80% of the party. 70 to 80% of the party. Easily. And when you don't listen to your voters, and in fact, when you go bowling at the Biden White House as a Republican in the midst of this nonsense, then people get very angry. Let me show you this piece of tape here. This is Florida Republican Vern Buchanan. It was such an unbelievable piece of tape, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was done by artificial intelligence, or that maybe it was a couple years ago when Trump was president. I found it shocking. And for me to be shocked, it takes a lot. This is Republican Vern Buchanan, who during this speaker fight somehow got an invite to the Biden White House to go bowling. This is Vern Buchanan, who opposes Jim Jordan, posting on social media him bowling at the Biden White House and dancing while there are literally millions of people invading our country. We are on the verge of World War III, or at the very least a regional war in the Middle East. And we are spending $2 trillion that we do not have. And there is not a Speaker of the House. And where is your Republican Party? Your Republican Party is dancing in Joe Biden's White House bowling alley. Not an exaggeration. Play cut 137. How do a Republican member of Congress, how do they get invites to the Biden White House? Why was he there? I mean, can someone answer that question? That's very unusual. I can tell you right now, when Donald Trump was president, AOC was not invited to bowl. Nope. When Donald Trump was president, Ilhan Omar was not bowling in the Trump White House. Nor would Ilhan Omar go. Nor would AOC. You think AOC would accept the invite? Even if Donald Trump said, hey, AOC, want to go bowling at the White House? She would say, shut up, racist. Why is Vern Buchanan, a Republican from Florida, bowling at the Biden White House? At the very least, it's awful optics. At the very worst, it is real-time celebration of betrayal of your principles and your voters and dining with the enemy, a traitor Marxist that is destroying the nation. That's your Republican Party. Listen, as students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest, most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. And these days, in addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you and me. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from my friends at Hillsdale is through InPrimus, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. My listeners can sign up for free at this special website, which is available for a limited time. It's at charlie4hillsdale.com. I look forward to InPrimus each month, and you can too. It's interesting, useful, and free, the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale and InPrimus at charlie4hillsdale.com. They're an excellent college, America's greatest college, charlie4hillsdale.com. So there is a Republican civil war underway, and Jim Jordan has a decision to make. Jim Jordan can back off and have Bowtie Man do clean CRs and all that, or he can hold the line. He can hold the line and demand more votes. But you know one of them, just Vern Buchanan. He's dancing in the Biden White House. Now, some people are saying, but Charlie, you don't know the context of the video. Okay, fine. Vern Buchanan, explain yourself. Fair enough. What were you doing? Who invited you to the Biden White House? How often do you go? And why were you there? Just curious. You could let us know. Because that's an unusual thing. Not exactly typical. And at the very least, not exactly demonstrating to your constituents that you're standing up against this illegitimate Marxist regime that is destroying the country. So there's 25. There's 25 of them that are basically prioritizing pettiness over patriotism. They're prioritizing their own revenge over fulfilling results for the American people. Hakeem the Dream Jeffries is going after Jim Jordan. The Democrats are such reprehensible and repulsive political figures, to be honest. Hakeem Jeffries comes out and says that Jim Jordan is a clear and present danger to the American people. Play cut 127.
Jeffries, are you confident that you would have all of your people here this weekend to continue to block Mr. Jordan, that you have enough votes every single roll call vote this weekend?
We recognize that Jim Jordan is a clear and present danger to the American people. And we are going to be here for as long as it takes to end this national nightmare.
So his fellow congressman is a clear and present danger to the American people. If that doesn't unite Republicans, well, what will? But the answer is this, is that the two parties in one that have been fused, there are good people out there like Ana Paulina Luna, Chip Roy, people that are holding the line, people that are doing the right thing, Andy Biggs, Eli Crane. And then you have these fake Republicans, Vern Buchanan, Diaz Baltart, that quite honestly, they never want to have to take a tough vote. As much money as Ukraine wants, never secure the border, don't do spending cuts. And yes, these fights are hard. You are fighting up against an incredibly profitable and powerful machine that pays a lot of bills for a lot of people. $2 trillion. Of deficit spending. You're up against the war lobby, the pharmaceutical lobby. And somebody emailed us right here, freedom@charliekirk.com. But Charlie, don't they love the country? No, of course they don't. What makes you think the people you send to DC love America? They don't. Some do. Most are just okay with feeling important. And you must understand the psychological makeup of most people that go to DC. When I first started Turning Point USA, I thought of people in Congress at a very high level. Obviously, when you're in high school, you think of, wow, they must be so impressive. Throughout the years, the more time you spend around people in Congress, you realize there are some superstars. There are some great people. Like I said, Anna Paulina, Eli Crane. Eli Crane's an incredibly impressive guy. But most of them, they couldn't run a hot dog stand on their best day. Most of them are incredibly unimpressive people. They're not very smart. They're not creative thinkers. They're incredible narcissists. They love prestige. They love being and feeling important. They don't mind being controlled by special interests. They don't do deep thinking. They don't read books. They just kind of go along to get along. These are not your best that you're sending to Congress. Some of them are amazing. And you know what? The best ones you send that have actually done something real in their life, for example, Dr. Rand Paul, who has done something remarkable in his private life, being an amazing eye doctor, they just get turned off by the entire system. The vast majority of the psychological makeup of the people that go to Congress are weak, and cowardly, and feckless, and dumb. And they go to DC, and this is both parties, by the way, and they just want attention. They like dressing up and feeling important. And for them, their motivating principle is self-preservation of their own political career, not self-preservation of the country. And so it should not shock you that the people who enjoy the rubber chicken dinners and the attention of the DC paparazzi are unwilling to fight. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. When I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of mine and Turning Point USA, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation when you say offer code CHARLIE. Join me today and make the switch today to this excellent company. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. So Joe Biden gave an address last evening. Joe Biden calling for more money for war. Now, let me just say this. This is a fact, and you could put it right here, mark it down. By Monday morning, you will see a New York Times article, Washington Post article saying that Joe Biden's numbers are going up. That's 100% going to happen. It's an iron law of politics that if you do not completely screw up a foreign conflict, your approval ratings almost always go up, especially with the bedlam happening in the House of Representatives. Is it earned? No. Is it fair? Of course not. But Joe Biden is going to lean in to this. Joe Biden is actively leaning in to trying to resurrect his awful poll numbers. Awful poll numbers. You see, Joe Biden did the primetime address yesterday, barely able to get through the speech. He goes to Israel, he's mumbling and he's muttering. And his team says, okay, they're looking at this as an opportunity to quote unquote make Joe Biden and the Biden administration look like a leader. Understand, Joe Biden was, his numbers were going down, impeachment was coming, Hunter Biden, all that is gone as we are now focusing our House melodrama on the establishment striking back against the conservative grassroots. So understand, when those articles come out, don't be surprised. Joe Biden, big beneficiary. Joe Biden wins on Israel. Let's play a couple of pieces of tape here. Joe Biden begging Congress to send more weapons to Ukraine. We're not talking a lot about Ukraine, are we? Ukraine has definitely now been de-emphasized by the regime. And isn't it interesting? You know what I find shocking? Not shocking, I shouldn't say that. Telling. ABC News, United Nations, they are calling for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. But weirdly, they're not calling for a ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine. Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib keep on tweeting out, we need a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, yet they want more weapons to be sent to Ukraine to continue a bloody war between Russia and Ukraine. Why is that? It's because they want to keep the terror cells alive in Gaza, and they actually don't want to stop the killing between Russia and Ukraine. So keep that in mind. ABC News is coming out and saying, well, wouldn't a ceasefire or, you know, stopping the killing make rational sense? Why is ABC News not coming out and saying that about the Russia-Ukraine war? So we're talking about, quote unquote, peace negotiations between Israel and Hamas, and yet that has not been introduced in the slightest with Putin and Zelensky. Play cut 129.
And if Putin attacks a NATO ally, we will defend every inch of NATO which the treaty requires and calls for. We'll have something that we do not seek. Make it clear, we do not seek. We do not seek to have American troops fighting in Russia.
Biden then continues in cut 130 to beg Congress to keep sending more weapons to Ukraine. Man, I wish that our leaders cared as much about our own border as they do about the Ukraine border. Play cut 130.
On Ukraine, I'm asking Congress to make sure we can continue to send Ukraine the weapons they need to defend themselves and their country without interruption, so Ukraine can stop Putin's brutality in Ukraine.
So we are now, we have the Russia-Ukraine war that we are fighting Russia by proxy. And if we are not careful, in the Middle East, this thing is going to turn into a massive regional and potential global war. With the Persians and the CCP in lockstep together. And Israel's taking their time. And so I want to explore this for a second as to why. It has now been 2 weeks. Tomorrow morning will be 2 weeks since the massacre. They have been doing air raids and bombings. The international community is already turning against Israel, and boy, did we predict that. To a T, we predicted it. Sympathy goes to hatred, right? Israel had their 48 hours, and now the media is coming against them. We have this ABC News clip that is incredible that we're going to play. And Israel seems as if taking a very methodical approach here. Now, there was a very telling article in the Wall Street Journal that had some inside sources where they're talking about how the invasion would happen. But here's a really important article from the Wall Street Journal. How the West helped fund Hamas. Militants filled coffers by skimming humanitarian assistance and taxing commerce. After Hamas launched its murderous assault on Israel this month, the United States and its allies condemned Iran for funding it, but left unspoken, the Wall Street Journal says, were the many ways the international community and even Israel itself inadvertently helped Hamas fill its coffers. The Islamist group has raised tens of millions of dollars by skimming off humanitarian assistance and taxing economic activity stirred by trade opening into the Gaza Strip stronghold. The flow of money illustrates the conundrum Israel and the West have faced since 2007, when Hamas wrested control of the Strip from its rival, the internationally recognized PA. How to support Palestinian civilians in Gaza without empowering a group promoting violence against Israel. The West helped subsidize the rise of Hamas. And still to this day, the European Union is sending more money to Gaza and Hamas. And the United States government wants to send more money to Hamas, $100 million more. Not to mention, let me just reiterate this for those of you that don't know. The Palestinian Liberation Army, the PLA, and the Palestinian Authority, run by that overweight dictator Mahmoud Abbas in Nablus, which is the capital of the Palestinian Authority, they subsidize a pay-for-slay policy that totals tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, where if you are a terrorist and you kill Jews, your family gets money. So, 2 weeks ago, there were 19 and 20-year-old Muslims that come in with GoPros on their head, well-trained, and start killing Jewish babies. Some of them were killed by IDF soldiers. So let's just take one, I don't know their names, okay? Muhammad Al-Zira. I made up that name, probably not far off, okay? You take that guy's name. Muhammad Al-Zira. He's dead. Well, Muhammad Al-Zira's family is now getting paid. If you kill Jews, the Palestinian Authority takes money from the West and redistributes it back to your family. It's called a pay-for-slay policy. It subsidizes the killing of Jews. You want your family to get rich in Gaza? You want your family to get rich in the West Bank? You kill Jews, your family gets paid. Listen to this back and forth on ABC on who is responsible for all of the dead Arabs. Play cut 139.
Now for the deaths of, I mean, nearly 3,500 Gazans, a great number of those, women and children. You say you're trying to target Hamas.
Fix what you said. You said Israel is responsible for the deaths of 3,500 Gazans. Israel is responsible. Are you sure?
Well, if you bomb areas where there are civilians, that means that Israel is responsible, surely.
No. Those who are responsible are Hamas, who target and shoot rockets from those very locations.
Do you notice the language that ABC News uses? Everything is against Israel as if they are the oppressor. Everything. That you guys are responsible? Time out. Hamas declared this war. Hamas went and killed Jewish kids. Spare me the caterwauling of anything that happens after that. Hamas reaps the consequences. And where are the widespread apologies, by the way, from the New York Times, from ABC News and Reuters? They write articles saying that Charlie Kirk is a purveyor of disinformation. Meanwhile, Reuters, BBC, Al Jazeera, New York Times all peddled the fake story that Israel bombed a hospital and it killed 500 people. It's anywhere between 10 to 50 people that were dead, and it wasn't a hospital, it was a hospital parking lot. When you launch a war of aggression and genocide, you are to blame for the consequences on your people as well, just like Japan in World War II and just like Germany in World War II. It's an unfortunate reality of war, but Hamas and Gaza and the Muslim Arabs that call themselves Palestinians, they do not have the ability to play both sides. You don't get to send paragliders and bulldozers and invade Israel on a high holy day and go into kibbutzes and murder babies and women and children and target them, and then all of a sudden play the victim because Israel starts dropping bombs on you to go after your military leaders. You don't get it both ways. You do not. The pure butchery will be met. And if Israel decides to invade, which it looks like they will, that Wall Street Journal article looks like they're getting ready for it, the international community is going to come hard and hard and hard after Israel, even more so. Why? It's not just because of Jew hatred. It's because the media hates anything that believes in borders, hierarchy, strength, tradition, and religion. And Israel stands for all of those things. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. As you know, following this week's horrible events, Israel is at war. The people of Israel are under attack from brutal terrorists targeting innocent civilians, including women and children. There's over 1,000 casualties, as well as kidnapping and infiltration of southern Israeli towns. Israel is now retaliating and could escalate with a ground offensive against Hamas militants. The situation is critical, which is why I'm partnering with our friends at the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to rush emergency relief to the hardest hit areas. Call the special phone number 800-492-5454 to make an emergency donation Again, that's 800-492-5454. Your emergency gift will help the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews save lives and provide critical essentials needed right now. During this dark time, the need in war-torn areas will be tremendous. The fellowship has extensive network of staff, partner organizations, and more. Immediately respond with life-saving security and support measures. We ask all people to pray for safety and protection. Call 800-492-5454 as we rush urgent need right now to help Israel through the International Fellowship of Christian Jews. Invade the world, invite the world. That is neoliberalism. The more we get involved in this conflict in the Middle East, which should just be a surgical, precise operation, Israel going after Hamas. You don't have to involve the Persians. You don't have to involve the Lebanese, Hezbollah, Syria. This thing's getting wildly out of control. But it seems as if almost some of the warmongers in D.C. are looking at this as an opportunity to get this conflict way broader, more expanded. And if you want a perfect example of invade the world, invite the world, which, by the way, is one of the fault lines and the breaking points and the differences and the coming schism in the Republican Party, look no further than Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley, who is a cheerleader to bomb Iran, and also says we might as well allow more Ilhan Omars into the country. Play cut 26.
You have to realize that whether we're talking about Gazans and Palestinians, you know, all of them don't, you've got half of them at the time that I was there, didn't want to be under Hamas's rule. They didn't want to have terrorists overseeing them. They knew that they were living a terrible life because of Hamas. There are so many of these people who want to be free from this terrorist rule. They want to be free from all of that. And America's always been sympathetic to the fact that you can separate civilians from terrorists. And that's what we have to do.
So Nikki Haley's perfectly fine with bringing in people of the third world that have a worldview that is at odds with the United States Constitution. You know, Iran has launched a propaganda network called the Iran Experts Initiative to recruit second-generation Western-born Persians in academia to infiltrate the foreign policy establishment and bolster Tehran's image and positions, in particular, its nuclear program. One of these people is Ariana Tabatabai and is now serving as the chief of staff for the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations. And Biden has yet to pull her security clearance. So when you allow all these people, Nikki Haley, they're also infiltrating our government. No different than how people infiltrated the Catholic Church. They infiltrated the FBI. They've infiltrated every major institution. And Scotland has come out and they said, yeah, bring as many Gazans as possible. Well, who is Scotland's first minister? Humza Yousaf. Yeah, that sounds like a real Scottish name. Humza Yousaf is a child of Pakistani immigrants. You know, I remember that part in Braveheart where they said, I'm from the Maxwell clan and I'm from the Wallace clan and I'm from the Kirk clan and I'm from the McCoy clan and I'm from the Yousaf Humza clan. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our Gazan refugees. He's saying Scotland must take Gazan refugees, even while neighbors Egypt and Jordan refused to import more terrorism. Now, here's a very simple question. Why does the king of Jordan, why is he allowed to be based when it comes to immigration and the West isn't? Why is the king of Jordan allowed to say no to Muslims and we have to import them into our country? What does he know that we don't know? Play cut 35.
Just a part of the question on the issues of refugees coming to Jordan. And I think I can quite strongly speak on behalf not only of Jordan as a nation, but of our friends in Egypt, that is a red line. Because I think that is the plan by certain of the usual suspects to try and create de facto issues on the ground. No refugees in Jordan, no refugees in Egypt.
Hold on. This guy is this like 17th generation descendant of who they call the Prophet Muhammad, who's not the prophet of anything. But he's the direct line. So this guy is as close to like royalty in Islam that you could get. And he's like, no Gazan refugees, none. That is a red line. Why? Jordan is actually a relatively wealthy country. Jordan is not Yemen. Jordan is not Oman. Why is Jordan saying no Gazan refugees? And more importantly, why does Jordan and Egypt, who are literally neighbors of this conflict, why are they allowed to say no Muslim third worlders, but the United States of America has to take them in? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
The United States Constitution guarantees every American fundamental rights and protection of life, liberty, and property. Salem is celebrating our founding document with a special offer, a 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Understand the value of these lithographs is to know the story. A master lithographer, immigrant named Theodore Oman, came to this country to find the American dream. 70 years ago in 1953, Oman printed a limited number of these exceptional Constitution lithographs. Go to SalemEventStore.com to read Oman's entire story. America's most important document stands as a testament to all Americans to maintain their liberties, freedoms, and inalienable rights. Buy it and display it proudly. Buy a gift for your family and friends, for all the teachers in your communities. There's a limited number, so act today. Go to SalemEventStore.com to get your exclusive 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Buy it and display it proudly. While limited supplies last, there's a limited time, so act today. SalemEventStore.com, SalemEventStore.com.